Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.
Hey guys, this is Spencer Newarth with Wired Hunt, and this is the fourth week of our mini-series Rut Radio. And it is November 8th, Election Day, so Mark and I are going to talk about politics for the next half hour. I'm just kidding, but Mark, I honestly don't know what state you're in right now. What's going on with you?
Well, it is a little bit of a change-up for me right now, because instead of me being recording this on my computer like usual with all the podcasts I do, I'm actually on a cell phone right now in my truck driving to Ohio. So, changing up my scenery. I've been pounding it hard in Michigan, and it's finally time to check out a new spot.
And so do we have a happy ending yet with Holyfield?
No happy ending yet. I have been hunting my tail off for him, and in this week's episode of the Wired Hunt podcast, which will be out tomorrow, I go into excruciating detail of everything I've been trying to do, and it's just been frustrating because of limitations with my property. The moral of the story is that I've seen him so many times, but he's always just a little bit out of reach, and most of the time on the other side of the property line that I can't get to, obviously. So, it's been really cool hunting this buck and getting to know him and see him so often, but he has won this round, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's cool. November for you. It can be fun and it can be frustrating.
Oh, yeah. It's we were just talking about it. It can be the best of times and the worst of times. But you've had some success, right?
Yeah, so I'm an opportunity hunter, not just specifically an archery hunter. That's my passion, but if I can pick up a rifle tag now and then, I will. And I was able to draw a pretty easy rifle tag for western South Dakota, but it's a pretty tough hunt. There's a lot of orange, and there isn't much public to go around. So I went in with it with lowered expectations, like if I could tag a 130 or something like that, I'd be happy, and I was able to get a buck just around there, so I was really excited with how it went, and it's a good way to start the rut for me. It makes things easier to come back home now and hunt archery. There feels like there's a little bit less pressure now to tag out with my bow.
I love that feeling when you've got a tag filled and everything after that's kind of just gravy. So this podcast is all about rut activity and reporting on what we're seeing. So can we maybe get our first rut report from you? What have you been seeing in South Dakota on that hunt or otherwise?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the rifle hunt. And, when you get a rifle season opening like that with heavily pressured public land, the rut can basically just go right out the window because suddenly the deer aren't acting like deer anymore. They're acting like deer that are being chased by a group of humans. So it's way different. But the first morning was when I shot this buck, and it was a tough morning. I hadn't seen much, and it was actually when I was on my way back to the truck. I spotted this buck in a draw, and it was like 10 a.m., and he was up and kind of moving about, and he saw me about when I saw him, and he allowed me to get in position. I was at like 90 yards, and he didn't move much. He didn't flee or anything like that, and I dropped him in one shot. And so because of because of how he was acting, you know, there was definitely something else on his mind. He wasn't too concerned yeah. about what I was doing or getting out of that area. So
nice.
Other than
but no,
that,
no chasing or anything like that on that hunt, just probably because of all the hunting pressure, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I think the ruck kind of goes out the window in that case. But I have been back home archery hunting now. As far as the deer activity goes, like the younger bucks are moving so much. You know, I see as much movement, get as much activity on my trail cameras with those 1.5 and 2.5 year old bucks in the morning and evenings as I do at midday. And so they're definitely out and about. Now I'm just hoping their excessive movement will translate to the bigger bucks starting to move a little more now for me in daylight.
Well, that's the hope. This is the time of year to happen. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. If it's going to happen, it'll be now.
Yeah, I've been actually seeing, you know, like we talked about last week, and really the last 2 weeks, I've been seeing really good rutting activity in Michigan compared to what I usually do on this farm. And I don't know if that's just a product of changes with my deer. The last 7 days, I've seen Holyfield, I think, 3 times. And each one of those times, I've seen him chasing does. I've seen another 2 bucks that I believe are 3.5 years old. And both of them, I've seen them several different times. A couple different times, I've seen them on their own, just cruising. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I've also seen both of them chasing does, too. So they're definitely getting after it. Tons of dinks, you know, year and a half old, running all over the place, too, all times of the day as well. So, I mean, as far as rutting activity by me, yeah, that's about as good as it gets in this part of Michigan, at least on the properties I hunt. Been seeing a lot, and just I usually don't see 3.5 year olds running around like this. So it's what I've wanted to see. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, so 2 days ago I was hanging a new stand, kind of running gun set, trying to get on Holyfield, and while I'm putting my sticks in the tree, trying to climb up there, here comes Frazier, this 3.5 year old I've been watching for a while now. Starts walking right towards me, hear me like rustling, and he heard a noise and was interested in what it was, and he walked to within about 10 yards of me while I'm standing on the ground just frozen until he kind of figured out there was something not quite right about the situation. So they're frisky, they're curious, they're looking for love right now, but unfortunately for him, in all the wrong places.
Yeah, and how does that translate to Ohio for you? What are your expectations going there? What kind of tactics are you going to use?
You know, that's going to be the big question. Big question mark right now is what will be going down in Ohio. What I've always historically seen in the 5 or 6 years I've been hunting down here has always been that the activity seems to be better a little bit later down here for us compared to up home. And I've kind of hypothesized that that's just because I'm hunting in the far southern part of Ohio. So it's usually like 10 degrees warmer down there than it is compared to my home in Michigan. So there's just a better chance in the second week or third week of November of getting some cooler weather than not. So when I get those cooler temperatures, that just seems to always kick the daylight activity up a notch or two. So a cold front's actually hitting today and tonight, and the temps will be like 13 degrees cooler than they were yesterday when I'm out there tomorrow. So I'm hoping that means there's going to be some good activity. I've got a wireless trail camera down there that showed a really nice big buck on the property in the middle of the day, 1:30 in the afternoon on camera, a couple days ago. So they're definitely starting to move more. And, you know, it's one of those areas that doesn't have a ton of deer. It's not a very high deer population. So I know I'm not going to see a lot of deer, but usually because it's kind of a travel corridor through there, you just have to be there when the right one cruises through. So that's my plan. I'm just going to set up in a travel corridor where they're going to be funneling between two big areas of timber where there's going to be does bedded. And I'm just going to hunt all day in these kind of pinch points for as long as I possibly can, as many days as I can. And it's just kind of a grind. There's no fancy tactics. You just kind of grind it out. While I will say in Michigan, what I found the most success with was focusing on doe bedding areas. Whenever I was tight to a doe bedding area, that was when I was seeing these deer in daylight. There weren't so much traveling in different places. It was all really tight to the best two bedding areas I have in the area.
Yeah, well, I think this is as good as it gets right now. And if our conversations are any implication of what's going on right now, My contacts were really hard to get a hold of this week because they were all sitting in the woods all day.
It's a tough problem to have, but I guess it's a good problem to have because it means we're out there doing what we love.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to start with Ben Harshine in Iowa with Hunt Era Mapping. And then we have Mike Hunsucker in Wyoming with Heartland Bowhunter. Then we go to New Hampshire and talk to Tim Beeble from the 4pointer.com. And then we end with Haynes Shelton in Kansas and North American Whitetail TV.
Excellent. Well, should we get right to it and stop our rambling?
Yeah, we better. You enjoy your drive, Mark.
All right. Thanks. Good luck hunting.
You too. Bye. But quickly, before we get to our first update, as all Wired to Hunt podcasts are, this episode is brought to you by Sitka Gear. If you'd like to learn more on Sitka Gear's technical hunting apparel, you can visit sitkagear.com. And now, on to the show. All right, and joining us on the line first is Ben Harshine, the founder of Huntera Mapping. Now, Ben, in Iowa, what would you say the buck activity has been there on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd probably put it at, I would say, a 7 or an 8 in the mornings over the past 5 days to the past week. Really good pre-rut action leading into some classic hard for rut chasing. Mornings definitely seem to be significantly better for movement. Like here in the Midwest, we're dealing with midday highs in probably the mid to high 60s, low 70s. But the lows in the mornings at first light are in the low 40s to mid 40s, and that seems to really get them pretty fired up. So my mornings have been super hot as far as deer movement, and seeing 4, 5, 6 bucks every morning between first light and I'd say 9 to 10 o'clock. These past couple sits recently have been seeing more mature bucks on their feet. Seemed like earlier last week, a lot of my sits were, I was seeing a lot of cruising, but you know, 2-year-olds, some 3-year-olds. And then these past handful of days started to see some deer that I haven't recognized, but definitely 4-year-old plus deer that are up on their feet. And some of them have been really, actively pursuing those.
Sure, and so a 7 or 8 in the morning, what do you think about that evening movement and that midday movement, that we're pretty concerned about during the rut like this?
Yeah, I've seen, I've been sitting, let's see, I've sat 3 times now, 3 all-day sits, and the midday, I believe on 2 of them, I saw a couple 3-year-olds either come scooting through. I saw one on Sunday with a doe. He was tending her. I mean, they were actively breeding. I mean, she brought him up to a pretty secluded ditch and he tended her right there. So they are definitely starting to connect with does more and more. Midday, I think it's kind of hit or miss. And then the evening, when the sun starts dropping and it starts getting cool a little bit, I've been seeing some decent movement, but really nothing like the cruising that I've been seeing in the mornings. So,
and Ben, I saw on Facebook a couple days ago, you asked a really compelling question. And it was basically asking, come this time of year, peak rut, how important is a mature buck's bedding? When he's out chasing and basically looking for hot does. And I saw you got like 70 plus comments on that. What did you learn from that status, Ben? And is there a consensus answer to that question?
Well, there was a lot of opinions on it. I do think it's one thing to point out is that it's a matter of that specific animal. What he chooses to do is not exactly the same thing as what the next 6.5-year-old whitetail is going to choose to do. He got this far in life. I believe that he's probably going to start to stick to the situations that he's put himself in and the locations he's put himself in to get this far in his life. So, whether he's bedding there year round, I'm not sure. Whether he's bedding there, Right now, possibly, it's probably an area of security for him. What happens whenever that first doe that comes through that he catches wind of, will he get with her and bring her back to that area or go off where she wants to take him? I'm really not quite sure, but it's just really interesting to think about that kind of stuff. And I've got a lot of phenomenal answers from some big buck killers and their take on it. So pretty cool topic though.
Yeah, and what I kind of gathered was that, you know, each buck is unique, but overall, a lot of them, they got that big for a reason, and that's kind of, you know, staying safe and keeping in the area they're familiar with. So
yeah, absolutely.
What about going forward, Ben, in this next week or so? What do you think the rut activity is going to be there on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think it's going to continue to be solid, you know, it's we're getting to the point in the bell curve where we're really creeping into some time when a lot of more and more does are going to be coming into estrus. So the availability and the supply is going to be significantly greater than it was, say, right now or even a week ago. But that doesn't mean that all of the bucks are getting on does at the same time and the woods are going to completely go silent. There's does on bucks right now that will be on does for the next 24 to 36 hours that will then again have to go find another one. And there's bucks currently right now that are looking for them. That's going to be the case the whole way through the rut. You just have to be there for whenever that right one comes through, whether he's with a doe or not.
Absolutely. Well, for your sake, I hope those big bucks stick around to what they're familiar with and you get a shot at them. So thanks for your time, Ben. I appreciate the call.
Hey, thanks a lot, Spencer.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Mike Hunsucker, host of Heartland Bowhunter. Now, Mike, in northeastern Wyoming, what would you say the buck activity has been there on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, you know, this part of the state is quite a bit different than anywhere in the Midwest. There's just a ton of deer, really high numbers. And so, you know, the buck activity is always pretty good. I mean, depending on the time of the year, but I mean, anywhere from, you know, early season through October, you know, it seems like, you know, they're moving, they're doing their thing. So, I would say right now, you know, we're seeing deer, we're seeing bucks and they're moving in daylight as far as the rut's concerned. You know, I would probably say it's about a six or seven, you know, from what we've seen, you know, we've only hunted for 2 days. But we're seeing some seeking, you know, some bucks, you know, bumping does around and making scrapes and that type of stuff. But nothing, I haven't seen any situation where I've seen a doe that's for sure hot and for sure in heat and that bucks are kind of fighting over. So,
sure. And would you say that your morning sits are better right now or your evenings?
The evening sits have actually been better the past couple of days. This morning we hunted this morning and it was just really, really slow. But usually, like, I don't know, when in the Midwest and Missouri and stuff, I mean, I love mornings this time of year just because it's, you know, the weather's a lot cooler, but, it's just been so unseasonably warm across the whole Midwest. And even out here in Wyoming, it was 60 degrees today, which is unheard of. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those things, you know, we got to deal with what we're given and the weather is, you know, I mean, they're still rutting. The rut's going to happen no matter what. It's just, you know, when the temperatures get up into the 60s, it just really subdues the daylight activity.
Absolutely. And what kind of areas are you guys focusing in on right now? Are you near their bedding? Are you looking for water or food? Or what are you doing there in Wyoming?
We're actually out here. It's super, super dry. So we're kind of concentrating on some water areas. And that may be why our morning hunt was so slow, because we went to this spot that's a usually is a nice water hole, but it's been so dry that literally there was no water in it. So we were sitting over a water hole with no water this morning. Yeah, water is kind of the limited resource out here at the moment. So we're kind of keen on water, and the water sources typically are kind of, you know, in transition areas between bed and food.
Sure. And so you talked about sign a little bit earlier with some scrapes, and the scrapes and rubs in your area, are they hitting them in daylight yet or not?
Yeah, I mean, there's rubs all over the place, you know, and they, you know, they start making rubs a lot of times right out of velvet, and so it's kind of hard to tell, but a lot of rubs and a lot of scrapes, and actually, we had a hunt tonight and had two nice bucks come in, Unfortunately, the one we were wanting to shoot, he's a big nine for sure, mature deer, it's like six plus. He came out, plenty of daylight, and he kind of fed off to our south, and then he didn't come back until like last light. And there was another, he was with another nice buck, and he kind of bumped him, pushed him out of the way, and I passed him up. I wasn't sure if he was three or four. He was real nice, but he was, looked like he might have been a younger deer. And then he finally made his way in within bow range, about 35 yards, but it was just too dark for film, for footage. So he got the pass tonight. But after we passed him up, he went down the draw and bumped a few does around. And he was down there thrashing, making a rub and making some scrapes down there. So they're definitely still hitting them. And you know, usually this is one of my favorite weeks out of the whole year to hunt. But it seems to me, just from what I've seen, it's like not quite there yet. So.
Sure. And so with that said, going forward, do you think it's going to get better? Like, what do you think on a scale of 1 to 10, the buck activity will be in this coming week?
You know, I'm hoping it's going to be better based on the weather conditions. Obviously, you know, over the course of the next week, I think it should be better than anything that's happened yet this year, I would imagine. You know, obviously the rut you talk to somebody and they're like, oh, it's on, it's going crazy here. And you know, it's all situational. It depends on where you're at and the location and the spot you are. I mean, I've been, you know, had hunts in November when everything was perfect. You know, pressure's through the roof, conditions, you know, temperatures are low and you don't see any deer. Just like, you know, just bad luck. You happen to be in the wrong spot at the wrong time. So I do think it'll get better, though. I really do. And out here, you know, it's different, too. You know, it's not like hunting in Kansas or western Kansas where the numbers are super low and the competition is through the roof. You know, there's just literally more deer per square mile than anywhere else I've ever hunted out here. So there's so many does, and there's, you know, there's a ton of bucks too, but there's, you know, a limited amount of mature bucks and they kind of run things. And so, you know, it's almost like they don't really have to compete that much to find a doe and heat.
Yeah. Well, I know either way, you guys are going to lay down some sick footage and, stuff I can't wait to see on next season of Heartland Bowhunter. So thanks for your time, Mike.
Yeah, hey, thank you. I'm looking forward to the next few days.
All right, and joining us on the phone next is Tim Beeble of thefourpointer.com. Now, Tim, in New Hampshire, what would you say the buck activity has been there on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give it a 7 right now, definitely up from last time we spoke. I've seen more buck activity this year than I've seen in many years past. Very active scrape line I've been seeing. Seemed like every time I got out there to hunt again, there was a fresh scrape or two on the ground and definitely exciting. Rubs too. So very active out there. So yeah, I'd give it a 7.
And can you think of a reason why you would say it's been better movement this time of year than in years past?
I can. I've been racking my brain to figure out what it is. I think maybe I've just got a buck in there this year in this particular property that's a little bit more active or more dominant than there has been in years past. And that's the only thing I can think of at this point. But otherwise, I've been trying to figure it out myself.
Sure. And so you're saying you're seeing a lot of scrapes right now. Do you think that's typical for this time of year too there or not?
Yeah, definitely. This is usually when we see them, first part of November for sure. And, you know, we're out of the woods in Vermont. I like to hunt in there too. We're not usually in Vermont this time of year because there's no seasons open, but that season opens Saturday. And typically when the rifle season opens Saturday, typically when I get out there for opening day on Saturday, I see scrapes that are a week old or so. So, you know, usually it's the first week or two in November when we see these scrapes.
And what about with the does that you've been seeing? Have you noticed them acting any differently or?
No, I wouldn't say that. I been looking for it, but I haven't seen it. I mean, my deer sightings have been pretty low as it is. Just hunting big woods, you just don't see a lot of deer. But the ones I have seen haven't really been acting any different than what I would expect this type of year.
Sure, and the deer you are seeing, would you say they're from more of morning sits or evening sits?
Evening for me. You know, the last week I tried to sneak out a little bit before work, got out for an hour or two each morning, but so I haven't been able to put in a lot of time in the mornings. So most of my longer sits have been in the evenings, and that's when I'm definitely seeing deer. They just seem to be on their feet just an hour before dark or so, working their way out of the bedding areas and back up, you know, to oaks that are loaded with acorns and just on their feet to go feed.
Sure. And so what sort of an area have you found this big buck in? I know you told me you have a bigger buck, maybe like 5.5 years old, that you've been targeting. What's the area like that you've had encounters with him in?
Yeah, he's a pretty cool looking buck. I just got him on camera last week. Honestly, I didn't know he was still in the area. I have him on camera 3 years ago, I believe, as a 2.5 year old. He's got a messed up right side. His right pedicle is kind of bent off to the side, so his right antler grows funny. So he's pretty recognizable. But this is he's following roots along the top of a probably a mile long ridge. He's just cutting across it, and from what I can tell, he's of course doing it in the middle of the night when I'm not there. But he's coming up from his bedding area, which I think is down in the valley, a deep valley, and up on a hillside across a swamp on the other side. Pretty hard to get to, but it's a mixture of hardwoods and pines, and he's following the edges of these oaks where they meet up with thick pine stands, and then as he goes down over the ridge to back to his bedding area, he's just following these slight rises in, in the hardwoods where he can see both directions as he heads back down the hill. And pretty neat to find that buck sign there. I mean, it's right where you'd expect to see it, but oftentimes you just don't know you're standing in that spot till you're there. 20 yards to the right or left, you wouldn't know any different. But once you're there, you realize why a buck's traveling where he's traveling. He can just see. He's got good visuals, and he can use the wind in the evening and in the mornings to travel back and forth. But so far, I just haven't been able to catch up with him, but hoping that changes tomorrow.
Sure, and what about going forward in the next week or so? What do you think the buck activity is going to be then on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to keep it pretty high. I mean, 7 or 8, I would think. Definitely hearing, stories of people seeing bucks chasing now, and I'm hoping that's the way that this guy's going to mess up. I think he's just got to make a mistake. And I think for the most part, it just comes down to me being there, just having the time to actually be there and wait him out to make that mistake and chase a doe through the area. And I just think he's old and smart, and that's probably the only way he's going to get killed. So yeah, but I'd keep it pretty high, 7 or 8 for sure.
Well, that's exciting to hear. And I hope that all comes together for you, Tim. Thanks for your time.
Yeah. Appreciate it very much. Talk to you soon.
And joining us on the line next is Haynes Shelton, Associate Editor of North American Whitetail. Now, Haynes has been doing some filming in Kansas. And Haynes, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say the buck activity has been there in the last week or so?
Hi, Spencer. How's it going, man? Well, I'll tell you, we came into Kansas on November 3rd. First afternoon sit, saw a big 160-inch tank of a buck out there tending two does, and had a 140-inch buck come in right after him, and we thought it was on fire. The next day had another shooter come in, dogging two does, and things were looking really hot. And if you'd asked me after our first 2 days here, I would have told you, man, 8 or 9. We had we've been using a doe decoy and a buck decoy, switching them out, day by day, and have had a tremendous response to both. At the start of our hunt, I had 3 bucks right at 1:30, young deer, 3-year-olds, come right into both a buck and a doe decoy. I had bucks blowing up on it. I didn't have any knock them over, but I had them, how they get all gristled back. Hair stands up. They lay those ears back. I had them circling the buck, and I had bucks coming in looking like they were going to breed my doe decoy. I mean, just sniffing the bud on that thing, looking like they're getting ready to hop on it and mount. And ever since then, the past 3 days have been really slow. If I had to give you a 1 to 10 today, I might tell you a 4 or 5. It's almost it's almost varying day by day so much that it's hard to say, man.
Yeah, well, that sounds like the rut. And with that decoying, let's go into a little more on what techniques you've been using there. Have you been using any scents or calling, and what type of an area are you setting those decoys up in?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty wide open here in the part of Kansas I'm at. We're hunting two big ag fields, Milo and a cornfield that are split apart by the slough. We call it a plum thicket, and it's you know, it's a great travel corridor / bedding area combo. And, you know, we hunt right on the edge of that thing, and the bucks and does can pile out. It's almost like a windbreak, too. They can pile out from there into these ag fields, and that's where we're setting up our decoy. And like I said, basically, I've got a Flambeau boss buck decoy. It looks like a great big mature buck. You take the horns off, it looks like a big, like a nanny doe. And, you know, been trying both. And, you know, when it's the doe, I got a piece of white fabric that I cut out. Looks like a tail. And I'll put that thing on there, and I might apply some, you know, extra scent to it. And that's where I've had my bucks coming in and checking that and, you know, scent checking or smelling around. So, you know, it's awesome when you use a decoy and it's working. It's some of the most fun hunting you can do, you know, to see those great big bucks or those, you know, young bucks or whatever coming in to check it out. It's a rush, man.
Yeah, and what about for your sits on morning versus evening? Are you seeing more activity on one or the other?
It's variable. You know, seeing good deer movement on both. But the mornings is where I'm getting, you know, that good rut activity that I saw the first 2 days. That was, both mornings were really on fire. You know, the evenings are more travel. You know, if I can catch them traveling, we've had them come in and react, but I'd say mornings, if I had to lean one way or another, probably mornings a little hotter right now.
Yeah, and what about going forward? What do you think the buck activity is going to be then on a scale of 1 to 10 in this next week or so?
Well, you know, I'm in a good part of Kansas during the darn right time of year. You know, I could go in the morning and it's full throttle. You know, it could be a 10. You know, we got a big cold front coming in tonight. There's a frost advisory for the morning. It's going to hang around 34 to 36 degrees. I think it'll have them revved up. But, you know, they got a rut. They're going to do it. They only get one chance a year. You know, I'd say in the next week it could be an 8 or 9. Yeah,
yeah, well, I hope the timing works out for you there. Thanks for your time, Haynes. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Spencer.
And that concludes this week's episode of Wired Hunt's Rut Radio. Make sure to follow Wired to Hunt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Spencer Newharth. Thanks for listening, and I hope you're having an awesome November.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate Batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate Batteries. I use Interstate Batteries in my boats. I use Interstate Batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.